My dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious sisters and brothers in Christ, happy Easter. You know, in the earliest days of the church, they were much more expressive than we are in the church generally today. The Easter song that everybody sang was Alleluia, which is a Hebrew expression that means praise the Lord. Generally, Catholics think that people who say praise the Lord are Protestants, you know, evangelical Protestants. But it really should be a song that is easily on our lips and certainly in our hearts during the Easter season. So, Alleluia. The Lord is truly risen, and we have reason to be rejoicing. Sometimes it's important to know the congregation you're preaching to before you preach, and so I often look up statistical information to help me know what to say to you. And the earliest statistical information I could find for Easter was from a Barna study from 2010. Now that's nearly 4 years ago. But I found two interesting statistics. It said that 42% of Americans said that the resurrection of Jesus is the meaning of Easter. Now, that means 58% didn't say that. I don't know what Easter means for them. Maybe Easter bunnies or new clothes or cleaning the house or spring is finally here. But in some sense, the American people have lost the meaning of what we celebrate at Easter. And then, in addition to that, only 2% of those who were interviewed identified Easter as the most important Christian holiday. That means 98% identified another holiday as more important. I wonder what that was. I suspect it was Christmas, you know, because I know when I was a young boy, before I went to the seminary, I thought Christmas was much more important than Easter. I don't know why. Perhaps it was because I got gifts and we didn't exchange gifts at Easter. But I think it's really important for us to know that at the heart of the church is a celebration we've been having the last 3 or 4 days, beginning with Holy Thursday, when we celebrated the gift of the Eucharist to the church and the washing of feet. In the washing of feet, Jesus shows us how we treat other people, how we treat one another as servants. On Good Friday, we remember Jesus' great sacrificial act of love for us, dying on the cross because he loves us. We talk about the passion of Christ. The passion of Christ isn't just his suffering, but his love for us. He loves each one of you here passionately, and the cross is a sign of that, the passionate love of Jesus for his people. And then last night and today, we celebrate the Lord's resurrection, which is a sign that God always wins, right? No matter what happens, God writes history. And at the end of all history, because it's written by God, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's the history of the world, but also the history of each one of us. You know, God desires our resurrection. So it's very important for us to understand that this feast of Easter, despite what 98% of Christians say, or other people say, is the most important feast of the year. St. Paul said much the same in his first letter to the Corinthians when he said these words: "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. And we, of all people, most to be pitied." You know, if the resurrection didn't happen, if it's not true, our lives as Christians are a sham. And we should be pitied by the rest of the world for being fooled. The resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of Christian life. And that is why the most common Easter song, other than Alleluia, is the verse that we sang as our responsorial psalm this morning from Psalm 118. These are the words: "This is the day," Easter, "that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We need to rejoice and be glad. Why? Peter, whose sermon is written in today's first reading, tells us why we need to rejoice and be glad. Listen to what he says. Peter is preaching to the people immediately after the resurrection, and this is what he said. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testified that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead, that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. And this is why this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad, because we have been saved from our sins through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why we say, Alleluia! Praise the Lord for loving us so much. Before he became the Pope, Benedict XVI, his name was Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, gave a wonderful talk about Easter that was entitled, Sarah's Laugh. This was way back in 1986. Sarah's Laugh. Now, you might remember, if you know your Bible, that Sarah was the wife of Abraham. And both of them were very old when God sent an angel messenger to tell them that they would conceive and have a son. And the scriptures tell us that when Sarah heard this, she laughed. And their son's name was Isaac. And the Hebrew kind of foundation of that name is to laugh. So they named their son Laugh, or Laughing Boy, or something like that. Isaac. That's what it means. Now, in the light of that, Pope Benedict, the Cardinal Ratzinger in those days, went on to say that it's important for us, as we look at all the symbols of Easter, and there are many of them, the water of our baptism, right? The candle, the Easter candle, which is a symbol of the light that Jesus brings into the darkness of the world of sin and the world of, you know, the world we live in, of mistrust and hatred and all those ugly kind of things. Those are very important Easter symbols. The flowers that surround the altar are another important symbol. So the white vestments are a sign of joy and rejoicing. But he says, in addition to that, two of the sacramental signs of Easter are laughing and singing, the Alleluia. Because, you know, signs are things that you can see that point to things that you don't necessarily see right away. And he said, I didn't know this, but back in the Baroque period of history, now the Baroque period is 1600 to about 1750, a long time ago, it was expected that on Easter Sunday, the priest would tell a joke in the homily. And this was referred to as the Risus Pascalis, or the Easter laugh. You know, we laugh when? When we're happy, but also we laugh when we discover that something we thought terrible was going to happen didn't happen. And laughter is often a sign of simply relaxing after being terrified. You know? Like, for example, if you thought you were dying of cancer and the doctor came and said, I made a mistake, you're okay. One of the signs of how many of us respond is that we would laugh. Not because the doctor was wrong, but because it's a great relief for us that we don't have to face what we thought we had to face before. Because laughter is a tonic for sadness. And Easter is a time for us to get over sadness, whatever it might be. Because in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we find our own life and our own future. If Jesus was raised from the dead, St. Paul tells us, God will likewise raise us from the dead and even now begin to give us new life. So I hope you laugh a lot today and drink some wine. It'll help you to laugh. But not too much wine, because that will lead to sadness again, okay? One final thought. It's interesting in the Gospels that Jesus is bound with white cloths at two moments in his life. In the Gospel stories of Jesus' birth, we're told that Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Now, I don't know if you know what swaddling clothes are. I really didn't, so I looked it up on the web pages. You can find everything there. And, you know, swaddling clothes were clothes that mothers would wrap their babies in very tightly and then tie strings around them so that they wouldn't move. And it was seen in earlier days as a way of keeping the children quiet and help them to sleep and to stay asleep. You know, it lost favor, I'm told, in the 18th century. I don't think I was wrapped in swaddling clothes. But apparently it's been making its way back again, and some women do that today. So the first experience of Jesus being wrapped in white cloths was when he was born. The second was described to us in today's gospel. I always wonder why they paid so much attention to the cloths that were wrapped around Jesus' body when he died and the cloth that was on his face. But, you know, in this gospel reading, we're given this story about St. Peter and St. John running to the tomb after Mary Magdalene told them that the tomb was empty. It says they both ran, but the other disciple, St. John, ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial clothes, but rolled up in a separate place. So a lot of attention is given to those burial cloths. You know, it was, again, I don't know if you remember the story of Lazarus, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, but when he was raised from the dead, Jesus told the men standing around, go in and untie him. Because apparently those burial cloths were somewhat like swaddling clothes. They weren't just loose cloths placed on the body, but the body was tightly wrapped like a mummy in those burial cloths. And what were the swaddling clothes for? They were to keep a baby quiet and help the baby to sleep and not to wake up. And the fact that they were taken off in Jesus' resurrection is a sign that Jesus isn't going to be tied down and he's no longer asleep in the sleep of death, but that he's going to walk boldly and freely in the world, not only appearing to the apostles at his time, but hopefully, if we open our hearts, appearing to us in our time. Because the resurrection, although it has historical background, is also present in our church, in our lives today. And Jesus wants you and I to be unwrapped from whatever ties us down, whatever burial cloths we wear now, whether it be our sin or our indifference or our lack of commitment to the gospel. He wants us in this Easter season to untie those bonds and to be set free. Because Easter is about being free in the love of Jesus and in the service of one another. The final words of this gospel passage are a description of St. John, the one who's described in the Gospel of St. John as the disciple whom Jesus loved, and a very special friend, really. And this is what it says. He went into the tomb, and he saw and believed. The Lord wants us to be his special friends. He wants us to see and to believe. This is why today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The Lord is truly risen. Alleluia.